Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. But the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart. Thank you.
I've got heaven on my mind. That was Reverend Luther Barnes. Amen. Good evening and welcome to the Light of Portland broadcast. I am your host for tonight, Pastor Kimberly Black. Bring you greetings from the City of Roses. Yes, yes, yes. All the way from Portland, Oregon. We give glory and honor to God tonight for being our Lord, our Savior, our King of Kings, our Jehovah Jireh, our Jehovah Nisi, our Jehovah Shalom, Yahweh, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Yes, he is that go-to type of person. Amen. He is the one that's got our back. He is the one that's concerned about everything that we're concerned about. And so, yes, my hallelujah belongs to him tonight. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us tonight for the Light of Portland broadcast. It is our prayer tonight that something will be said to help strengthen your love relationship with the Lord, to help renew your strength, renew your hope, and to help you continue to press on to see what the end is going to be. We give glory and honor tonight to those who made this platform possible. We want to thank God for the Butterfields. We honor the man and the woman of God who have co-labored with us to make sure that we could come into your home, ride in your car, sit with you on your job every Sunday night at 8 o'clock p.m. We thank God for them sharing this platform with us. And we want to honor those that co-labor with us in the gospel. Our own Pastor Sherelle Pennington, we thank God for her. She's in Atlanta, Georgia, and spoke with her earlier today, and she's working, amen, her business. She's had the opportunity to expand her business, and so she's been moving all day today, all weekend, really. And so we just want to pray that God will cover her and keep her safe during this time. We want to honor our own Elder Dante Farmer, who's right here with us, plowing the field. Amen. We know that the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few, and that God has a work for all of us to do. Amen. You stay tuned. Don't hang up, because we're going to be talking about that work that God has for all of us to do. Need you to do me a favor. Reach out to your family and your friends tonight. Just copy the text that you got. Send it to 1, 2, 3 people at least. Let them know that we're on tonight and the word is coming forth and the word is coming right to them. It's going to be a word that everybody can relate to. The word will not miss anybody. Everybody will be able to say, that's me. Amen. So I want to give you that opportunity to share. Amen. Give you that opportunity to witness. Amen. Give you that opportunity to let your family and friends know what you do to keep yourself sane during this pandemic, what you do to keep yourself in line with the will and the word of God during this time of national crisis, this national disaster. So we have a few announcements. We don't have a lot of announcements tonight, but we're truly grateful for what we're getting ready to bark upon. I just want to keep it in our minds that Tuesday, November the 3rd, is the day of election. Amen. And we want to make sure that we do our due diligence to vote. That's our responsibility. If you need any information about the voting in your state, your city, I want to share this website with you. It's www.votesaveamerica.com. That's www.votesaveamerica.com. You can go there. That is your one-stop shop to vote. If you're not registered to vote, you can get registered to vote. If you need to find out about when your ballots are coming, you can go in and enter your state, and they'll give you the details that you need. If you want to volunteer for one of the campaigns, you can sign up there. And so we want to encourage you to do your due diligence. If you want to learn more about the candidates, you can also go to that website, www.votesavesamerica.com. So I want to encourage you, study, and get the facts. Pray, and get the facts. Amen? Amen. So we're just truly grateful to God for all that he is doing. Also want to tell all of us Oregonians that are here dealing with the fires, even for our listeners that are in California, well, since this information about the ash that's falling on our cars, you don't want to put water on the ash. You want to get a leaf blower and blow the ash off before you put water on your car. This is new to us. When Mount St. Helens erupted, we had ash on our cars, and we didn't wear masks then. I don't remember wearing a mask then, but we know that this ash is not friendly for the environment, and so you want to definitely not wash it, do not put water on it, but you want to blow it off. You want to blow it off. Amen. So that's all we have tonight for announcements. We're getting ready to go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Maybe you have a prayer request, and I'd like to give you the opportunity to come live on the air tonight. If you have a prayer request, if you have someone that you would like for us to pray for, or you're saying, hey, pray for me, press 1. We can bring you on live to make that request on tonight. If you have a prayer request and you would like for us to remember and call out the names of your loved ones or call your name, please press 1. We'll bring you on live and you can make your prayer request. The Bible says to let your supplications and your requests be made known. Amen. Not only to God, but to those that have been assigned, those who've been called to stand in the gap, to pray and to be intercessors. So we want to give you that opportunity to press 1 if you would like to give out a name of someone that we're praying for tonight. So I want to add to the list, in case you're writing, I would like to request prayer for Dr. T. Allen Bethel, asking the saints of God to remember Dr. Bethel, Lady Bethel, and the Maranatha Church family. Also requesting prayer for the city of Portland. We're praying that God will come in and send fresh rain in the city. Also praying for those living in California. We need fresh rain. Amen. We're praying for the frontline people, the firemen. During this time fighting fires, there's a lot of people who have volunteered. There's also men and women who are incarcerated who are fighting these fires. They get paid 10 cents an hour to fight fires. And so we want to pray for them. Amen. We want to keep them lifted up in prayer. We want to keep them covered. Also want to pray for the doctors and the nurses that are working with COVID patients. We also want to pray for those who have lost family members during this pandemic. We all know that grieving is nothing fun to do, but when you have to grieve and there's physical restrictions attached to it, it makes grieving so much harder because you feel you're already feeling alone because of the loss of your loved one. But when you can't have any physical contact with family and friends, just to hug you or to hold your hand or to fix you a plate or sit in the room with you without having on a face covering, it makes that grieving process so much harder. So maybe you know someone that has lost a family member during this pandemic, and you pray for them. Pray for them. It might have happened in March. It might have happened in April. They're still grieving. They're still going through. I know that there are still some family members that still have not done the final committal over their family. We just had an opportunity to do a final committal for a friend of mine, her husband, who passed away in March and early April, and they were unable to have a complete service. So just keep praying for these people that are grieving, that are going through daily life, trying to adjust to our new normal. Amen. Want to continue to pray for each other. We know that where there is little prayer, there's little power. And if there's no prayer, there's no power. But thanks be to God, where there is much prayer, there is much power. And so we're just truly, truly thankful to God. We're grateful to God. We're going to play this song tonight just to get our hearts and minds ready for prayer. After that song, we'll come back and we will have our prayer time. And then following that will be word time. So you still have time to call somebody and tell them, hey, it ain't too late. Get on the line. Get on the line. It's word time, man. It's word time. Following this song, Grateful, which is one of my favorite songs, just to help us to remember, in spite of all we're going through, we still got to have a grateful heart, a grateful mind, and a grateful attitude. Following this song will be our prayer time, and following that will be word time. Get ready, get ready, get ready, for the word is coming forth.
Try to help us do it. Lift your hands in this atmosphere.
Heavenly Father, we, your handmaid servants, we come, Father, humbly before your throne of grace tonight, saying, O God, that we are truly grateful, and flowing from our hearts is gratefulness. Lord, we're grateful today because you are a loving God. You are a forgiving God. You are a merciful God. You are a gracious God. You are a God slow to anger, and we are grateful tonight. You, Father God, look beyond all of our faults, and you saw our needs, and we're grateful tonight. Lord, we're grateful because you chose us this day. You woke us up early this morning and you closed us in our right mind and you gave us the activities of our limbs. And God, we're grateful tonight. You allowed us to go throughout the day and we ate and we slept. We woke up again to see that we were still in the land of the dying, preparing for the land of the living. God, we're grateful. Father, we just come before you tonight to say that we love you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, Father. We magnify your holy name and we exalt you tonight, oh God. Father, we just thank you, God, that you have given us the mind to say we need you. You've given us the heart to confess our sins and our faults before you. And so, God, we're saying tonight, forgive us of all of our sins, all of our trespasses, all of our iniquities, all of the things that we thought, that we said, that we've done, the places that we went. God, forgive us. The things that we didn't do, the things that we should have said, forgive us. Father, we ask tonight that you would purge us with hyssop and that you would wash us thoroughly in the blood of the Lamb, that you would create within us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Father, we ask that you would forgive us tonight, Lord, and then help us, Father, to walk in that spirit and that light of forgiveness. And as we walk in the light of forgiveness, may we share that same spirit of forgiveness with others. In that model prayer, you teach us to pray and ask for forgiveness, and then you say to us to forgive those that have trespassed against us. God, help us tonight. Help us tonight, Father. Lord, we have a list before you. We know that you know what's going on in every city, every state, every nation. You know what's going on in every house that's represented on this call. You know what's going on with every person that lives in every house that's on this call. And so, Father, tonight, as we gather together, we lift up your people unto you. Stretch forth your mighty hand. Send your anointing. Touch now, save, heal, and deliver. Touch now in the name of Jesus. Bring peace to troubled minds, God. Renew hope and strength, God. Increase our faith, God. Renew our joy, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, bless tonight all the names that we called out earlier. We pray, God, your perfect will be done. We pray thy kingdom come, Lord, thy will be done here on earth in our lives tonight. Now, Lord, as we look to your word, we ask for clarity. We ask for an ear to hear. We ask for an attitude to be adjusted, because if my life is not lining up to your word, God, I'm saying tonight, adjust my attitude, because it's our heart's desire to live a life that's pleasing in your sight. So, Father, anoint the hearers tonight. Anoint the doers tonight. Anoint us in a way that we've never been anointed before. That when we hear this word, we will not say, so-and-so should have heard this. Yeah, that was good. But tonight, when we hear this word, we will say, I must be busy being about my Father's business. Tonight, when we receive this word, Father, we will say,
I'm going to do that. And then we come to you and ask you to help us because we can't do it on our own. We need your Father. So we look to you now, for you are our strength, you are our hope, you are our peace. You are the God of our salvation. And we love you tonight. We adore you and we appreciate you. So I pray now, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. I look to you now, Father, to guide us through what you've shown me, what you've given me, what you've told me to say to this body of believers. I'm not excluding myself because I need your word to survive. So God, as you speak through me, speak to me. And as we hear together, may we advance the kingdom of God together. And may we continue to give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Tonight I'd like to call your attention to one of my favorite writers of the New Testament. Paul wrote over a third of the New Testament. And the letter we're going to read tonight is in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. When we look at the book of Ephesians, the purpose for Paul writing this letter to the church at Ephesus and all the believers everywhere, the purpose of this letter was to strengthen the believers in their Christian faith. And Paul uses nature, and he talks about the purpose of the church, and he talks about the purpose of the body of Christ. And so tonight, I just really want to talk tonight. I'm going to try to talk tonight. I love the word of God, and I get excited sometimes, and just it just feels real good down in my soul. But I really want us to hear tonight. This word is for all of us. And then, too, this word is for somebody that you know, that you talk to on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, or a monthly basis, and they're struggling right now. They're struggling. They're not struggling necessarily because of the physical restrictions that we have to come together, because we're getting past that now. This is like, what, month 7? March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Yeah, this is the 7th month. We've been doing this for 7 months, and we're used to this physical distancing, and we're learning how to do social, coming together socially in so many different ways. We're Zooming, we're Google meeting, and texting, and we're calling people more. So we're getting past that. But I do believe we're living in a time now, my brothers and sisters, that God, the people of God, are really trying to seek God for their own personal relationships, their own personal salvation, their own personal quest, their own personal fulfillments. I believe that people all over the world now, the body of Christ, are really trying to seek God for, God, what's my purpose in life? What is it that you want me to do? So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm just going to read the first three verses tonight, and then share with you some points that God has given me to share with us. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, I therefore, this is Paul talking, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Here he is talking to the church. He's talking to the believers. He's talking to people all over the world. I am taking a class in school, and this class that I'm taking, it's helping me to really come to grips with my vocation and my calling. I was explaining to my family that I know that God has called me and I know what he's called me to do, but there's something deeper in that vocation. There's something deeper in that calling, and I want to get there. I want to be all that God has purposed for me to be. And so this class for me is good that the teacher likes my writing, and it's good that the teacher likes my oral presentations. But can I tell you, it ain't about the teacher right now. It's about Kim doing all that God had purposed for Kim to do. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of Kim or you or you or you or you what God has in store for you or for me. And so I just want to live out that calling. I want to fulfill that calling. And so this today we see Paul telling each of us to walk worthy of our vocation, which we were called to. Well, I can see some of you now saying, I wasn't called to nothing. Well, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you out because I'm going to show you some things that you were called to, and put some stuff on your plate, put some stuff on your mind tonight to help you realize that we all have been called by God to do something. Verse 2 says, how am I supposed to walk worthy in my vocation? Paul says, with lowliness, with meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He's given us what we need to do what we need to do. Paul says we must be humble. We must be kind. We must be gentle. We must learn how to bridle our tongue. Can't just speak and fly off the handle whenever we get ready to fly off the handle because stuff just don't go our way. We cannot. But there is a way in which we are supposed to walk out our vocation, walk worthy. He says here, forbearing one another. You know, in love, we got to be patient with each other because some folk just ain't going to jump on the bandwagon of holiness because we own it. Mm-hmm. We want them to. We want them to come along and ride on this fantastic voyage. Come along, get along. We want them to come on and join us. But everybody's not going to feel the need to live holy, to live righteous, to live blameless before our God in this corrupt and perverse nation. Some of them still want to straddle the fence. Some of them still want to have one foot in the grave and one foot in hell. Some of them still want to dip and tip and snip and do all of that. But can I tell you, we have all been called so that they will not say, I didn't know any better. So let me tell you, what have we been called to? I hope you have your pen and pencils ready because I want you to say, uh-huh, that's me. I want you to see yourself tonight. The first thing, we have been called to be a vessel. V-E-S-S-E-L. We have been called to be a vessel. God is calling the Christian community to be united as one in Christ and become a vessel, an instrument that he can use. He wants us to show this world that he really is the one and only true God and that he loves us unconditionally. God calls the Christian community to minister to the lost, those who do not know him as Lord and Savior. He calls to minister to those who are hurting and dying. God wants to use our minds, our hands, and our feet to do his work in his way to carry out his will. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. God uses people who are willing to walk in obedience and to those who allow him to carry out his kingdom building initiative through you. Yes. So God has called you, my brother and my sister, to be a vessel. Amen. Number two, God has called us to be faithful, right? Faithful. God has called us to be faithful. God, in all of his sovereignty, has control even over the reproductive cycles of humanity. In the story that we read about Zacharias and Elizabeth, they serve as biblical examples of how to be faithful and trust a God who never lies and who is faithful to his own word. Mm-hmm. That's Luke chapter 1. A lot of my points tonight will come from Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2. So when you have some time, you can go back and read through those stories. You're saying, well, those are stories we only read at Christmas time. Well, it's Christmas every day, and so we need to be reminded of how to be calling us to be faithful. God is calling us to be faithful. Number three, God is calling us to proclaim his word. God also calls believers to proclaim or to tell his good news of salvation to lost people. We have so many ways to communicate to others about the word of God. We can send a text message. We can send an email. We can write a letter. We can call. And if they don't answer, we do have the opportunity now, thanks to modern technology. This is over some years ago, a long time ago. Voicemail. You can leave a voicemail. You don't have to hang up. You don't have to say, dang, I called them and they didn't even answer. And I had something I really wanted to tell them. Well, now you can just leave a voicemail message if they don't hang up. We've been able to do that. But so many times people don't even like leaving voicemail messages. They hang up on people. But now you can communicate. You can proclaim the word of God in so many ways. There's no excuse. There's Facebook. There's Instagram. There's TikTok. All of that stuff can be used to proclaim the word of God. God has mandated us to carry out the Great Commission. He commands us to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He tells us to teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments that he has given unto us. That's found in Matthew 28. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, God expects his church to worship him in spirit and in truth and to lift up the name of Jesus so that Jesus can draw the spiritually lost to himself. We got a job to do, saints. So many people are dying today and they don't know Christ. We work with people that don't know Christ. We run into people at the grocery store and they don't know Christ. We don't have to preach them no whole full-blown sermon. We can just smile and say hello, nod our head, say excuse me, say thank you, say you're welcome, say please. And just show them some love and kindness. So we've been called, what? To be a vessel, to be faithful, to proclaim his word. All right, you said, well, I know you say, that's me, Pastor Black, that's me, Pastor Kim. I hear you, sister, you talking to me. Here's the other one. We are called to rejoice. Mm-hmm. Luke chapter 2, again, when you get some time, read these stories to help renew your excitement and your joy. Luke tells us that God is calling whoever will believe to rejoice in him, both in good and bad times. During this pandemic, I said this morning that COVID-19 has not been all bad. The fires that we are experiencing have not been all bad. I know we're facing some turbulence times. I know we're experiencing some situations that we've never seen before. People are being evicted. People are losing their jobs. People are being abused every day in their home, verbally and physically. And it's never been like that before because they've always had a way of escape. They could get up and go to work and leave the abuser at home, or the abuser could get up and go to work and they could find some peace of mind at home. And the children could go to school and be away from getting home now. And even in this situation, we're being encouraged to rejoice. We can rejoice Because regardless of our current situation, regardless of our station in life, we can ask God to save us from our sin and to help us mentally, physically, and spiritually. I just hear it in my spirit. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. He will renew us. He will revive us. He will refresh us. He will recharge us. We just got to ask him. So my next one, God called us to be a vessel. I hope you saw yourself there. God called us to be faithful. I hope you saw yourself there. God calls us to proclaim his word. I hope you saw yourself there. God calls us to rejoice. He also calls us to be a witness. Amen. God calls us to be a witness. As Jesus walked among men for more than 30 years, we find that God spells out his command for the Christian community. Luke clarifies that God calls the community of faith, the church, to live out the purpose for which she was created. The church was created to show a lost and dying world what it means to live in an intimate, personal relationship with a holy God. See, this doesn't have nothing to do about your name being on the roll at anybody's church, or you showing up for church every Sunday, or you standing at the door to usher every Sunday, or you passing the communion plate because you're the deacon or the deaconess, or you are vacuuming and mopping and cleaning up the bathrooms or passing out offering envelopes or reading the, it has nothing to do with your work in the physical building. This is talking about your personal relationship with God. Do you know him tonight? Have you tried him tonight? Can you tell somebody that God is good and that God is worthy of all praise? How is your relationship with God? Do you only pray when you need something? Do you only call on him when you want something? Every now and then I find myself just saying, God, I love you. God, I adore you. Walking through the house, I just stop and think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. And something just rolls up on the inside of me, make me lift up my hands and shout, hallelujah. God is calling for us tonight, church, to be a witness. He wants us to be a witness. God is calling the Christian community and to be the church, to be the bride of Christ. He is looking for a holy people, those who are set apart from evil to do his good work. Remember, Leviticus 19:2 tells us to do what? Be holy, for he is holy. God is looking for us to be a witness for him. My last one tonight is obedience. Obedience. Yeah, I hear you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If you went to Sunday school this morning or you studied the Sunday school lesson, you found out that there was God rewards obedience. But God is calling for his people to be obedient. As we look at Luke chapter 2, as you're reading through Luke 1 and 2, we find the greatest example of a person being obedient. The person that tops obedience, you know, there's the top 10 superstars, there's the top 10 songwriters, the top 10 actors and actresses, there's the top 10 states to live in. There's the top 10 health providers. Well, I want to tell you, there's a top 10 list of people who are obedient. And number one on the list is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jesus Christ was obedient to the Father. He did his Father's will. Jesus Christ is our example. He went about doing his Father's business, teaching the word of God. He loved his enemies unconditionally. He commanded us to do the same. Throughout the Gospels, we learn that Jesus labored in making disciples. He summoned all the believers to do the same because the harvest was great. but the laborers were few. If we are going to be in God's will, we must follow his directives. We must obey the one who is building his kingdom and who will decide who will spend eternity with him in heaven or who's going to live with Satan in hell. Yes, saints, heaven and hell is real. When we looked outside, I have co-workers that live in Canby and live in Oregon City and live in Salem, and they sent me pictures of the sky. And I mean to tell you, when I saw orange and red in the sky, I said, oh, God, save my soul, because I definitely don't want to be like Lazarus and wake up and lift up my eyes and be in hell. Save me, Jesus. We got a glimpse of seeing a thick smoke in the city. We can't walk outside. You walked outside earlier this month wearing a mask because of the pandemic, because of COVID. This week we wear a mask outside because we can't inhale the air because of the smoke. Inhale, it's going to be just like that. That's smoky, burning, and it's going to stink worse. I heard my sissy say this morning, she said that the outside smelled like burnt cardboard. Well, if you can't tolerate the smell of burnt cardboard, I don't know what you gonna is you gonna be able to handle the smell of burning flesh. Oh my God. My question to you tonight, my brothers and sisters, from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1-3, and listening and looking at these places in which we have been called to, my question tonight to you is, have you heard God's call? Have you heard God's call? It is all about the kingdom. God is calling us tonight to be a vessel, to be faithful, to proclaim his word, to rejoice, to be a witness, and to be obedient. Have you heard the call tonight? It is a call to salvation and a call to doers of his word. It is a call to be faithful to him and to our ministries, to be a vessel that God can use in his kingdom building initiative. It's not about your church home. It's not about making your pastor or yourself a household name. It's not about how many members we can get to sit in the pew. I tell Greater St. Stephen's all the time, I'm thankful to God for who we have. And if we get more, amen, praise the Lord. And if we don't get no more, amen, praise the Lord. But our assignment and our job is to make sure that everyone that comes through those doors knows that it's all about the kingdom. Has nothing to do with my name or the name on the building. It's all about the kingdom. We are not here forever. The song I played earlier at the beginning of our broadcast, it was entitled Heaven on My Mind. Heaven on My Mind tonight. Are you striving for heaven? I want to encourage you tonight to answer to the call. Hear the call that's on your life. God is calling you to be a vessel. God is calling you to be faithful. God is calling you to proclaim his word. He's calling you to rejoice, to be a witness, and to be obedient. Tonight, I hope you're saying, God, that's me. And I want to do all I can do to answer the call of God. I want to do all I can do to make sure that my brothers and my sisters, my coworkers, my neighbors know that there is a kingdom that has been prepared for them, not made by hand, but by God our Savior. Tonight, have you heard the call? Have you heard the call? And not only that, my brothers and sisters, are you going to be a people of action? Or are we just going to sit on our tuff and pout and murmur and complain and do nothing and watch this world go to hell in a handbasket? But are we going to be the ones that God can trust and depend upon to get the word out, spread the news, to spread the gospel, to tell the story, to live the life before them? We are living. My children were laughing. My son said, I heard my great-grandmother say that these are the last days. I said, boy, don't play, because these are the last days. The Bible said nobody knows when Christ is going to return. And the bad part about it is that he don't even know. He's just sitting there waiting. He's saying, Father, I want to go get my children because they've been suffering too long. They've been in this pandemic too long. Donald Trump's been in office too long. I want to go get them. I want to go get them. He said, not yet. Wait. Give them some more time, because I've got some more children that are out there that are wayward, some more children that are out there trying to decide, do I really want to trust in the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind? Or do I want to continue to have a howdy-doody good time out here in the world, dancing with the enemy, being in love with the enemy, being engaged with the enemy? Have you heard the call tonight? God is calling each of us to advance the kingdom of God. He has a work for us to do. And it's time, my brothers and sisters, that we get busy being about our Father's business. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy, your grace. We thank you for the hearers of your word, and we thank you for the doers of your word. Now, Father, I pray that you would give increase to our faith, and that you would help us, oh God, to do that which you are calling us to do, to be vessels, to be faithful, to proclaim your word, to rejoice, to be a witness, and to be obedient. I thank you, Lord, for those that are on this line tonight, on this call tonight. I thank you, oh God, that you have pressed upon them to say yes to the call. We love you tonight, Lord. We appreciate you and we adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Something has to break. Hey,
Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. I hope and pray that this week you will be blessed, highly favored, and that you will answer to the call. Until next Sunday, my brother and my sister, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Having done all to do, stand. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Be blessed.